Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Living Life with Pastor Carolyn, the Kingdom Church. Amen. We have come on the broadcast tonight with anticipation, and we want to welcome those of you who are here tonight. We had dialogue last week with Pastor Daryl Kenneth Hamilton from Abundant Praise Christian Fellowship Church, and my husband, Bishop Alroy S. Henderson from the Kingdom Church here in Richmond, Virginia, and Pastor Valerie A. Burrell from the Empowerment Ministries here in Richmond, Virginia. And the discussion, the dialogue was talking about in troubled times. We have Bishop Henderson on. We'd like to welcome you tonight, Bishop Henderson, to our program, and we thank God for your being here tonight. I'm not sure if Pastor Valerie has not signed on yet. And
I'm here, Pastor.
Pastor. You're there, Pastor? Amen. God bless you. We thank God for both of you here tonight. Amen. We want to thank God for this opportunity to share. We know that there's so much going on, and just when you think that maybe it was going to quiet down, on yesterday they had a shooting in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where three policemen were killed. And tonight we extended the time from the 30-minute time limit to 45 minutes because we wanted to give you all an opportunity to share and to give what the Lord has placed on your heart. So we're going to go to Pastor Burrell first. Amen. Ladies first. And then we'll come to Bishop Henderson. We want to thank you for being here. Thank you for taking time out of your schedules to be on this broadcast. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Pastor, for allowing me to come back and share with these great kingdom generals and yourself being my great leader. I'm honored and humbled to be a part of this dialogue. As you stated, we are constantly being bombarded by situations happening all around us, and even with the shooting that took place in Baton Rouge, people are crying out about all lives matter, all lives matter. And we do understand that all lives do matter. Even in the city of Richmond this week, we had marches by different groups proclaiming all lives matter. And this morning as we prayed and the Lord spoke and he said, we say all lives matter, but are we concerned about all souls? Because we're talking about lives, and we know often when people live lives, they often live their lives according to the flesh. They live their lives according to what it is that they desire at any given time. And so when people are such that they're taking the lives of others, God would have for us to do, yes, it is important that all lives matter, but we have got to come to a place that we are willing to live life like Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I think that as we're talking about the fact that we've got to do something now in the times of trouble, we have got to get us and the people back to a place where they're manifesting the life of Christ. And when we realize that it's really not our life, that's the thing. All lives matter, but it's not our life. It's the life of Christ that we have to manifest. And so in a time of trouble, we have to understand what God has given us in the gift of the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of us, that's teaching us and prompting us and comforting us. And I believe that now in times of trouble, if people were more focused on manifesting the life of Christ, then
absolutely,
then the All Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, any lives matter, we should consider the fact that the life of Christ that died on the cross for our sins, that life should matter more than anything. And if we begin to instill that back into the people where they're concerned more about the life of Christ than their own life, realizing that we've been crucified with him, and so we should be now turning the tables. You know, we talked about the shift, and in many places we hear people talking about a shift that's taking place and how there's a need for a revival to break out. And I think that we've got to go back to teaching people the importance of the life of Christ, because we are not our own. We are not our own. And the will of God has to be manifested through us by exemplifying the life of Christ. And the life of Christ would be handling things very differently in these times than we are, quote-unquote, saying that all lives matter. I think that even with that, there's much propaganda in that, because everybody's trying to get their 2 minutes or 3 minutes or whatever it is that it may be. But it's the intent of the Father to have sons and daughters who manifest his life in the earth. And so in our troubled times, my first thing now is get people to really understand that it's not your life, but it's our responsibility to live Christ-like, to manifest the life of Christ in the earth. And if we begin to do that, then we can see a change come about during these troubled times.
Amen. Bishop Henderson.
Amen. Good evening, Pastor Valerie, Pastor Carolyn, good evening, and to the broadcast, good evening. I agree with Pastor Burrell in her opening statement, and she said a volume of good information that we need to know and that we need to abide by. One very important critical thing for myself is understand the church universal, understanding our purpose in the earth realm. And I think that we can easily get into a flow, not only with Black Lives Matter, but we all know that all lives matter, but when an attack on a particular race of people, and that it's quite obvious, and we know that the stats in D.C. says that over 500 whites have been killed or murdered, but it really doesn't go into detail when we see video of African Americans, the male who is being killed, and then we see the police officers or the justice system releasing them with no charges, no sentences, no convictions. It speaks volumes to us that there is a situation going on in the spiritual realm, as well as here in the natural, and the two run parallel with each other. And when we see the manifestation in the natural realm, then we know that it is an attack in the spiritual realm, and the church is not seeing the attack in the spiritual realm. We're only seeing what's going on in the natural. So if we changed our lenses and began to look at the activities around us in the spiritual sense, we will know or have the ability to attack the enemy in the right atmosphere. And it's so easy for us to get caught up, as Pastor Burrell said, with our 2 minute, 3 minute segment in the media, that we fail to look at the real problem. And the real problem is that it's a spiritual attack in the earth. We have to realize as believers and as kingdom citizens, and the key word is kingdom citizens, that the earth realm is just a stopping ground for us. And in order for us to conquer what's going on in the earth realm, we must, in our prayer, in our talk, in our walk, ascend into the spiritual realm. If we have to call the warring angels out to handle the propaganda of Satan, then we need to do that, because here in the earth realm, we're losing. We're not winning. And so therefore, a spirit being, a kingdom citizen, a kingdom ambassador, the words that we speak need to bring life. We know, and I have begun to live by or watch what I say, because everything and everyone around us has ears, and they respond to what we say, whether it's positive or negative. So we need to start speaking in the atmosphere for things to change. I think I stated last week, the church is behind what's going on. Instead of us praying after, we need to start praying before an event happened. There was 13 people who was arrested on I-95 during rush hour traffic today for blocking, marching, and stopping the traffic on I-95 southbound. And anybody in this area knows I-95 southbound during rush hour is already madness. But they went out and stopped traffic on 95, but not one black soul or person was in there. And they were standing there with signs saying Black Lives Matter. So that says a lot when we have the other persuasion of people who are willing to stand and see what is right. But we need to change our battleground. We need to go into the heavenlies and begin to battle. In the earth realm, we need to go into the court systems and begin to battle and change things. Not the streets. The streets are good. Martin Luther King used the streets. He used nonviolence, and I believe that we still should use that and still accomplish that. But we need to take the intelligence of our African-American males and females and place that intelligence where the enemy is attacking us, in our justice system, in our homes, in the social systems. We need to take that authority that God has given us and began to use it with power and authority. That's when we're going to see a change. When we recognize that it's not just Black Lives Matter, all lives matter, but we need to also recognize that all souls matter. Pastor Valerie touched on that. We need to begin to go back and teach that all souls matter and make it a clear understanding so that people will also know what it is to live a kingdom life. Thank you.
Amen. We want to thank you both for your dialogue. And we are trying to, I know that there are people even like myself who we saw the footage from yesterday's shooting, and we saw the young man, we saw his video that he made prior to, and they made it known that his 29th birthday was yesterday, and we can see those of us that are laying before the Lord and hear from God, we see, we hear, and we know that there is something going on in the spirit realm that is not normal. It is not normal, and it's not, some of it's not godly. We are being bombarded with all types of demonic oppressions and depressions and transmissions, and we have demonic interferences that's trying to sabotage prayer in the heavenlies, trying to stop it from reaching God. There is warfare in the heavenlies, and a lot of people who, some that are in church, and both of you can tell me what you think, but people that are in church, some of them even don't understand the specifics or the importance of knowing how to pray, what to pray. They have, some of not are not even able to recognize what is really, really taking place. Everybody is talking about the murders, but we understand this is a prophetic word that was spoken years ago, decades ago, and the enemy is trying to stop the prophetic word from coming to pass. We know that in Turkey there was something going on. They were trying to get martial law, but today they arrested so many thousands of people, leaders, army leaders, and judicial leaders that were involved in this. And here, like both you and Bishop Henderson were saying, we need to realize that it's the souls, it's the life of God in us. Many people don't realize that when we accept Christ, that He lives in us. And so when something happens to us, that's another person, another representation of Christ in human form living on the earth. And we have to ask ourselves, even with the Republican convention starting, what are people really seeing? What are they really hearing? People are in fear. We see the convention is surrounded like Fort Knox with policemen. So with all of the policemen and all of the weaponry there, something is going lacking. So the enemy is causing such a spirit of confusion and fear that if the church doesn't come in and start really praying and laying before the Lord, we're going to really, really have a mess on our hands, because He has no desire to stop bombarding us. The enemy will continue to bombard us. He will continue to try to take our young men and our young women. We have a generation of young people between the ages of 10 and 18 that have not a clue. They don't even realize the seriousness. All they know is getting somebody or fighting back or whatever. But now, like Bishop Henderson said, this is a time where we really, really need the church to really stand up and come forward. I saw a footage on Facebook where a court system allowed a Satanist to come in to do the invocation, and there were Methodist church members in the chambers, and they start praying the Lord's Prayer and praying out loud. And the person that was in charge of the meeting, they told him that why would he allow that person to speak curses and different things over that city, over them, over him. And he told them if they did not be quiet, that he would have them removed from the chambers. When will it be that we will stand up in a chamber and say, you can't do this? They've opened doors that they really don't understand. People that do not understand I don't know if I'm using the word right, the logistics of satanic attack. They don't know what really comes with opening doors and allowing stuff. And what we're seeing, I believe, Pastor Burrell and Bishop Henderson, we have allowed so much. The church has allowed and compromised so much. Now we are in the fight of our life trying to get back and regain what God had already placed us in charge of that we released to the wrong person. If either one of you would desire to share, I would appreciate it.
Well, you said a lot, Pastor, and Apostle. You know, I agree with you in that. Yes, there is visible injustice taking place against African Americans, and when I look at that, I try to, as you said, look through lens, and sometimes I change my lens only because my husband worked in law enforcement for many years, and so when I see the reaction of people, people of color or not, with their responses towards another race or officers, regardless, you know, I ask God, clear my mind so that I can really take note of the complexity of what we're dealing with. And yes, this is more than just an on-foot thing that we're dealing with. It's more than an earthly incident. It really is a situation of, as you stated, Pastor, we've opened up things. We've opened up portals and doors and all types of access for the enemy to operate in the earth, to bring about the division and the chaos that we're seeing take place. And I think you even posed a question, you know, what are we going to do? What are we in the church going to do? How are we going to implement change? And if we're really even releasing the appropriate sound to bring about the change that's needed. And to me, and we talked about it a little bit last week, and Apostle talked on it today, the church is behind. We're so busy talking prosperity. We're so busy talking get the house, get the car, you know, we're talking stuff, and it's good. God wants to bless us. He wants us to have the things that we need, and the word says he gives us the desire of our heart according to his will. But when we're not talking about the renewing of our mind, when we're not instilling in people that there are consequences and that we have to obey God's word, and we have to start seeing the truth of the situation and not the color of one's skin. Yes, we're seeing the injustice constantly being viewed. And we know you look at media, because I feel like even now it could be a minimal thing against a black man, and the media will find it, and it will feed us that story to continue to pour fuel on the fire that's already started. But are they really paying attention to everything that's happening everywhere? Because at the same time these people were gunned down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, I bet there were some other things and some other people getting shot down somewhere else that didn't get the same media coverage because of the color of the skin of the individuals that were involved, or because of the locale where it took place. So we have to, as leaders of God's church, we have got to really instill in the minds of our people to see the truth of what's taking place. Yeah. And because some leaders, their minds aren't there. You know, you got people in place because they thought they should be there, not because God said, that's absolutely what I want you to do. And so you have people leading people not in truth, but in their own agenda. And so the renewing of minds and the right conversations, Apostle talked yesterday, my days messed up, forgive me for that, but yesterday he talked about worship and praise, and, you know, it dealt with me after the fact about our offering to God and what we want in expectation from him. And I think it's just really causing for a realignment, starting with the church and working out, that when the church begins to align what we do with what God desires we do. If we start looking like the church and sounding like the church and releasing God's sound in the earth, it will cause people's minds to shift. I believe we could even silence media, because right now I think media is the very culprit that's fueling what's taking place more than anything.
Absolutely.
Because if we didn't see the story and if we didn't hear the story, we wouldn't be reacting.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
We would not be reacting, but they're fueling this with the intent to cause the uproar, to cause the unrest, to bring focus on an injustice that really is just time reliving itself. We've been in this place before,
yeah,
and we've overcome. We've
right.
been in this place several times. If you go back and look at history, even back in Exodus, we've been in this
yes.
place before, and we have overcome. And I believe that there is a remnant, and I say a remnant only because not everybody is willing to stand up and declare what must be done. Not everybody, Apostle, wants to go to the courthouse. They'd rather stand up in the restaurant with their docs and their friends and their, you know, and they have a conversation there, but they don't even want to talk loud because they don't want to be accountable to what's been spoken.
Absolutely.
Not everybody
Amen.
Is ready for the fight that's before us, that we've got to start warring in the spirit. We've got to start speaking God's word and releasing that. You said it. We have power with our words. The word tells us that life and death is in the power of the tongue, and if we keep speaking to the situation regarding the chaos instead of speaking to the situation, the peace of God. As he
Amen.
Said, peace be still. We've got to start speaking, peace be still. As we prayed this morning, and we were specifically praying for Louisiana, I saw an angel, and it was hovering over Louisiana, over the territory, and it was like it was trying to pull its wings together to clap to release an opening. But because of the darkness that was over the territory, they couldn't pull their wings together. And I said, God, that could be anywhere, that there's so
yeah.
much chaos and people are not focusing on what God wants to do, that God can't even move like he wants to because of the chaos in the spirit realm. But if we begin to release the kingdom sound, to release God's word, which is a sound that needs to be heard now, we have the ability to penetrate the atmosphere, to get the opening that will set a change here in the earth. That's what I believe. That's what's in my heart. And I know that it's going to begin with us. We're not going to see change unless we're going to be willing to be a part of the change that needs to happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Bishop Henderson.
Amen. I agree with what Pastor Valerie has said. And one thing that came to mind as Pastor Carolyn was sharing and Pastor Valerie is a scripture that I feel is very important in the sense that we need our eyes open that we might see the intent of the enemy as well as the intent of God. And God reminds us so much when in 2 Chronicles, when Solomon finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house, and in verse 14, I believe it is, it says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal the land. But verse 13 said this, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I commanded the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. All of that simply says that we as God's people need to begin. It didn't talk about anyone else. It talked about God's people. If God's people, which are called by my name, we need to humble ourselves. We need to pray. And we need to seek the faith. And I agree with Pastor Valerie so much. It is not about just prosperity. Prosperity is a benefit that comes with comes to us because we humble ourselves, we pray, and we seek the face of God. We should never think that God is just our banker and supplier of our wants. He says, I'm a supplier of your needs. And right now, we need the Spirit of God in the church, in the believer, that we can shift the atmosphere in the earth realm. And we don't have to start on a major platform. We can start in our local church by getting realigned, in our local church by teaching not just intercessory prayer, but we need to teach individuals how to pray. When the disciples didn't know how to pray, Jesus taught them what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer. So we need to teach people in perilous times such as this how to pray. We can't expect people to become prayer warriors if they don't know how to pray and what to say out of their mouth. So that's important. We need to teach them what humble is before God. It's not being, you don't have to be poor to be humble, but you have to be humble in order to be rich. So not just rich in the things of the earth, but also rich in the Spirit of God, because that's where it all originates. So we need to teach people an old-fashioned, knee-bowing, head-down, prostrate on the floor, how to seek God's face. Because if people have been going to prosperity ministries or one-sided ministries, and it doesn't, you know, we're not picking on the prosperity teachers, because we have some that lean totally in the opposite direction, but the key word is that we don't bring balance. And when you look at the scriptures, you know, and from Genesis to Revelation, we see balance, and we see when balance is not given on whatever extreme. So it's important to teach balance. So the church, because we have church hoppers, and I know that this is an international broadcast, but because we have church hoppers, we are always deprogramming the saints of God to what we believe is the right thing that we need them to know. But all we got to do is seek, be humble, pray, and seek the face of God. And then let them know we need to turn away from our wicked ways. And our wicked ways doesn't have to be that we are committing murder. We are doing this and we are doing things. Anything that is not lined up with the Word of God and the Scripture of God and who God is a wicked way. And we need to be able to understand that. And people now, you'll be so surprised at people who still think, Pastor Carolyn, that Jesus came out of the belly of a boat and stood on the boat and rebuked God because he spoke to the storms and said, peace be still. Logically, no child would ever rebuke their father. But why would Jesus need to even rebuke himself? He was the Son of God in the flesh, so why would he need to? So we have to first recognize the destruction that is coming into the earth realm, coming into the body of Christ that we so easily allow to come in because we don't want to hurt people's feelings. We don't want to do this. We don't want different things to happen. We want our churches to grow. We want our members to be mindful of the things that's going around, not just socially, because I'm going to tell you, it affects all of us when we see police officer dying, African-American males, females dying. But the the spiritual significance in that they're killing the males, which is the seed. So it's a form of killing off a particular race. But we have to get people trained spiritually to see the attack. So spiritually they can pray and know how to pray, because right now it is not "if it's thy will" time. We need to speak the word of God into the atmosphere to make a shift. A butterfly in China shifts the atmosphere in North America, in the United States. And that shows us the power that we have in speaking with our voices and the authority that Christ has given us, that we can shift atmospheres, that we can change the present day, that we can make things based on our history, as Pastor Valerie has said, from even the Exodus through slavery to the point where we are now. We overcame, but we need to revert back to living a spiritual life. God bless you.
Amen. We want to, we have some listeners. We don't know if you have questions. You can push number one and we'll see your hand up and we will allow you to come in and ask Pastor Valerie or Pastor Bishop Henderson your question if you have a question tonight. But we want to just be mindful that this is a time, as both pastors have said, both leaders have said, that the church needs to come to the front. Amen. She can't stay behind. She can't hide. We're going to have to let the family and the friends go if they're not willing to stand for right and righteousness. One of the things that really touched me today when I saw this picture of this 29-year-old young man whose mind, just from looking at him, just from hearing him, you could tell that something was off key. He even went as far as changing his name, and I wanted to get the name because I wanted to see what did it mean. Many times we don't understand what things mean. Like I said, we open doors and portals and airwaves to stuff that we have no clue what is going on. And one of the things is that we really need to get back to the Bible. Stop saying what we heard somebody else say, but know it for yourself. And we have to be able to say that this is not right and we are not going to do this. Years ago, Apostle or Bishop Henderson and I, we walked the halls of Congress and the Senate to lobby on the behalf of abortion and suicide, because that is a type of genocide. And now we've seen another form of genocide again against people. And we noticed that even, you say Black Lives Matter, yes, but if you notice that the majority of the persons that have lost their lives, including the policemen, were all males. All males. And if I'm not mistaken, it might have been one woman, but I'm not sure that it was one woman. But I know that so far they have been all males. And this is, like Bishop Henderson said, you're killing off the seed. You're killing off the reproducer. The man carries the seed. The woman is there to carry that seed and to birth it out. So you can't have a baby without a seed. So we need to really, really refocus, like Pastor Burrell said, and really look at what's really, really going on. We have about 6 minutes left. Amen. If either one of you would care to lead us in prayer, because I believe that we can use this 5 minutes of prayer. Amen. Apostle said a butterfly shifted the atmosphere. If a butterfly can shift the atmosphere, I believe that we can shift the atmosphere in prayer in this 5 minutes. Amen. To either one of you who desire to lead us in prayer.
I will start the prayer, Pastor, but Apostle said something that hit a chord in me, and when we were talking about the males, and you hit on it too. When we look at the males that are being killed, and it's staggering, but I just pulled up, and these statistics are from 2008, which probably doesn't speak anywhere close to where we are today, but it's dated from 1980 until 2008. The number of people incarcerated in America quadrupled from 500,000
mm-hmm.
to 2.3 million people.
Yeah.
And of that, African Americans then constituted 1 million of the 2.3 million incarcerated population.
Yeah.
So we see now open killings. But they've been doing it. They've been trying to destroy the seed even before this, where they're publicly doing it by incarcerating them and causing them to spend time behind bars away from their wives and daughters and mothers and sons, fueling homosexuality, which these United States of America have embraced like a piece of bread and some gravy. It's been happening. But again, media has fueled it and now puts it out in the forefront to cause chaos to continue and to be fueled and to move about.
Exactly.
But we've got to see this for what it is. When we look at how many people are committing crimes, the same crime that if I had a son committed a crime and then sweet Johnny Blue Eye did the same crime, Johnny Blue Eye's daddy would call Judge Smith, and Judge Smith would say, oh, we play golf together, just tap him on his hand and let him go. And my son would serve time.
Yes.
It's been happening.
Yes.
But now it's
coming to
the forefront to fuel what it is the enemy wants to do in the earth.
Absolutely. And the sad part about it, Pastor Burrell, is that our young people, your middle schoolers, your elementary students, even your high schoolers, they're the next one. They're building the jails. They're building places of incarceration. Now, they are already saying that these children will be the next candidates for incarceration at young ages. If you notice, they've changed it from sending them to juvenile institutions to trying them as adults now. So, there's absolutely something going on in the spirit realm, and we need to take notice. We will do our best to continue, if you all would like to, on next week, this talk in troubled times. I will see if we can get a police officer. I'm going to see if I can get her to come online with us and discuss with us on our next broadcast. In troubled times, because truly we are in troubled times. Pastor Burrell.
Amen. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this opportunity, O God, to dialogue one with another, O God, to release a sound, O God, to release your word, O God, in the atmosphere concerning the chaos, O God, that we're seen, made manifest, O God, because we've lost focus of who you are, O God. God, I speak to the heart of leaders right now, God, in the name of Jesus, God, that you would get our attention, O God, that we would focus on your word, O God, that we would be mindful of the needs of your people, O God. God, too often we have caused them to go astray, O God, by not giving them the truth of your word. But God, I thank you. I thank you for the mind of Christ, O God, to turn situations aground. God, right now in the name of Jesus, we lift up your people, O God. We even lift, O God, criminal justice system, O God. O God, all throughout these United States of America, God, that you would move in the midst, O God. We thank you, O God, for being a keeper. We thank you, O God, for the hedge of protection round about us, O God. We lift up our males, O God, African American and all, O God. We lift up the males, O God. God, that you would begin to protect the seed like never before, O God, because we believe you for change, O God, and we know that it can happen. God, we thank you. We thank you for this platform, O God. God, that we're able to release throughout the atmosphere, O God, throughout the internet, O God, a message of hope for your people, oh God. Oh God, that they might look again at what's taking place, that they would look through the appropriate lens, oh God, to see what is taking place for your glory. God, we thank you tonight. We thank you tonight for what you're doing, oh God. We give you praise, oh God, for what you're doing, oh God. Oh, we just glorify you, Father. We glorify you, Father. Oh, we glorify you, Father. We thank you, God. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. Woo, we thank you, God. We thank you, God. For being glorified, God. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.